the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now over to Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Hi, everybody. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Our guest today is Sean Neff. Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You've heard the name Neff if you've ever skied or snowboarded, right?
Yep.
Neff headwear, headgear. Tell me just a little bit about the company.
Yeah, I mean, we're a lifestyle brand targeted at youth. We now currently do a ton of headwear. We do watches, apparel, sunglasses, and a lot of ski and snow gear, like outerwear.
And there's a great story of how he started. We'll get to that in the next segment. But have you always had that entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah, I think at a young age, I was more intrigued with being the super consumer, right? Like the young kid that was walking into a store that really loved and enjoyed a certain brand. Mm-hmm. And I think at a young age, I was really taken back with how I was being influenced as a consumer, which then allowed me to think, gosh, I want to do something so I can put this same feeling of me wanting to buy this certain item.
Yeah, what was the deal there? Was it from television commercials or?
You know, I think it was just.
Other kids had it?
Yeah, I think it's the lifestyle of, I was really into music and surf, skate, snow industry. So there were certain brands that you had to have where the best surfers in the world are the best. It's like the Michael Jordan concept, right? Mm-hmm. We all love Nike because, you know, MJ was rocking them, but it wasn't just about MJ. It was Spike was next to him and Spike brought the swag and it was
it's kind all of about MJ, vibe. By the way, just so you know.
It is about MJ.
What was your first paying job?
To be honest, I never, ever had a job before. And I kind of just scooted through high school, played a ton of sports and surfed. And my first gig, first paycheck I ever got was when I started making money with this company, Neff.
I scooted through high school, too.
There you go.
1.7.
There you go.
But I did okay. Now, how many hours do you work a day now? What's your day like?
Wow, a lot. I feel like it never stops, right?
You do too much, do you think? Or?
I think moderation in all things has been my big thing over the last couple of years. I've got a wife, I've got two little kids. So I think I've become good at hiring the right people around me that can help operate some day-to-day tasks.
How crucial is that?
It's one of the best things that I'm doing in my life because for the first 10 years of my business, not knowing anything and thinking you know everything, that was my biggest challenge was how do you let go? How do you trust other people to do the task when you know you can go out and do it?
Letting go is the biggest challenge of life.
Right.
Is let go of your fears and your ego, if that's possible.
Uh-huh.
I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts.
No, I like that.
But yeah, so how do you find the people that will satisfy, I know you're not fearful, but will satisfy that fear of?
Yeah, I think the key first is really identifying what are your strengths? Mm-hmm. Like what were you born with? What was that natural intuition that you know that, hey, if there's seven chairs in an organization, which chair can you sit in that you'll completely destroy everyone else? So once you've identified what you're great at, then I think you have to identify what's your strongest weakness, right? Where do you feel that, gosh, I can do it, but I'm not great. So I think once you identify that, it's just the process of hiring and trying to find the right talent, which is one of the toughest things in business is to build the right team.
You got to have that guy, right?
Got to have the guy. I mean, guy or girl. It's to build the team around you. And I actually, Larry H. Miller, who's a mentor of mine, who passed away, but he, you know, did the jazz and huge in the car business. Yeah, he's an amazing, amazing man and very close with him. And like 2 weeks before he passed away, we were sitting in his kitchen. And that's one of the best advice I ever had because he said, look, you got to learn how to let go and trust others because he said, I didn't for the first 30 years. And I about killed myself working. And ever since he said that and it was real, I've really gone out and tried to find the right people.
And he ended up getting the best seats in the house.
Yes,
for the
he
basketball
did.
Basketball game. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Sean Neff is our guest. By looking at you, I can tell you might have a couple of weird hobbies or habits.
Mm, I love surfing.
Right.
And art is my bad habit / passion. I mean, I'm an art collector and I spend a lot of time and energy trying to find that next artist. It's kind of a game, right?
Do you have an eye for art?
I would say yes. It's kind of a similar eye to fashion, mm-hmm. right? I mean, being in my space and dictating trends for the youth over the last 15 years is something that I've been very successful at. So it's a very similar aesthetic of saying, cool, that's a good vibe, looks rad. It stands for this. It's different. Nothing else is like it. Cool. Let's buy
it. Just trying to figure out how much money I've spent on Neff gear for my kid. You might owe me some money.
I might owe you something. I'm joking. We'll do a swap.
If I bought it, it means it's good. What's the one adjective that describes you as an entrepreneur?
I would say hustler.
Always hustling business.
Always hustling. Just there's
always thinking of the next
always
deal.
Thinking, always driving. The mind never shuts off. Whether I'm sitting here
it's
with
good
you,
and bad.
It's good and bad, right? And I think that's been my biggest strength is that there's never a rock that's never, you know, turned over. I'll find every hole and see what I can make of it.
Typical day, get up early.
Yeah, I get up, I don't get up too early. I get up around 7:30, 8-ish and, you know, chill with the kids before they go to school. And then I...
Why don't you get up at 4 and wake them up?
I know, right?
You with daddy?
And for some reason, I know I have a lot of friends that are crazy. They go to bed at like 2 and wake up at 6. And, you know, I hustle all day and I spend time with the fam at night and I want some good, catch some good Z's.
Do you rely a lot? You're talking about that one person that you need. But how big is your staff?
In the office here, there's about 75, but plus our sales guys and, you know,
right.
We're 100
get
plus.
The whole, just, yeah. The typical thing. Not typical, typical successful thing.
Yeah.
Do you rely on advice of others?
I do. You know, I think in certain areas, right? There's certain areas where it comes to trend and product and marketing and who to collaborate with that I just, that's my gut. And yeah, I'll listen to other people and take some insight. Or if there's the younger new 18-year-old kid that's the new hipster that's hanging out at this new spot, maybe I'll vibe on what music he's listening to. Right. There's certain aspects that I'm like, yo, this is what I do. I'm doing it. But then to other areas of the business, whether it's a 3PL logistic issue of, you know, getting a containers to Northern Europe, then I'll take a lot of advice.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of ownership that you should have being the founder, CEO.
CEO,
And do your employees know that?
Yeah.
Do they know that you know what you know and they know what they know?
Yeah, I think there's a good trust there. I mean, they rely upon me to deliver what I have to do, but they know that I respect them as people that I work with, right? I don't look like they work for me. We all work together and we all have the same goal. And I think over the years, I'm a lot more trusting now. The first seven or eight years, you start to learn.
What's on your resume that might surprise us about you? Like you're a chess master or something like that.
Gosh.
I don't know why I said that.
On the resume.
What would surprise people?
I think what surprised people is, I think the one thing that shocks them is I did a 2-year mission in Salta, Argentina for the LDS Church. There you go.
Tell me about that.
You know,
what'd you learn there?
For me, it was great in a sense that I was in Salta, Argentina, mm-hmm. near Bolivia. And it was a very, you know, poor region.
Did you have the thin black tie?
Yep. Had the little tie and the name tag. And for me, it was a real service mission. So mm-hmm. it was the first time I was like, don't worry about myself. Don't worry about anything. Okay, let's go build a sugarcane house for the next 5 days for this family. Right. So for me, I think it was a great spot to kind of figure out there's more to life than maybe the hustle and some of the shiny things. It kind of grounded me.
There is, by the way.
Yes.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
You definitely need a very strong brand voice. And therefore, you need a fantastic product that is very unique in its category. In order to get that brand voice through, that you find a very fantastic branding agency that will be able to take what you want to say about the brand, about the product, and really take it through onto the package. And therefore, when you are at a trade show, the package immediately gets noticed. The buyer is going to come to your booth because they've noticed your packaging, and then they're going to taste your product. So it's got to taste delicious. The biggest ones are UNFI and KEHI. Those are distributors. So you're looking at who's attending the show, you're looking at name tags, you're targeting them, and you're making sure that they come to your booth and try your product. That means you will have to be in the aisles and say, hey, come see me, do your research before you go to the show, and make sure that you're looking at the show prospectus and figuring out which buyers are going to be there. If you have contacts before you go to the show, make sure you send them an email and tell them where your booth is. It's also probably a good idea to kind of case the show and making sure you know what your competitors are doing. Maybe they're pouring it with almond milk as opposed to non-fat milk. The next thing you want to make sure is if you're going to land national distribution, that you are ready to produce the product.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Youth vaping is a serious problem. To help address it, Juul Labs has advocated for raising the legal age to purchase our products to 21 plus. Stop the sale of non-tobacco and non-menthol-based flavored products to traditional retail. Enhanced online age verification, strengthened our retail compliance program, exited social media, and we're developing technologies to further restrict youth access. Learn more at juul.com/youth-prevention. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only. Paid for by Juul Labs. Between the
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Sean Neff is our guest and CEO, owner, founder, janitor, chef, cook of Neffware. How'd you come up with Neff, the idea?
Yeah, so I was a freshman in college and I'd always had the dream to have a brand.
Right? I said Neff, where it's Neff headwear.
Yeah, Neff. Neff's fine. And, you know, so growing up, I always wanted, being from Southern California, to have my own brand in the surfskate snow lifestyle industry. It just intrigued me. I loved it. I was so enamored with what those brands meant. So as a freshman in college, I was kind of cruising around going, you know what? It's go time. I need to figure out how I'm going to start this brand. So literally, I spent some time, tried to trademark a bunch of names. Everything came back, was getting bounced. So I was kind of sitting there one day going, you know what? I'm just going to lose my last name, Neff. N-E-F-F, four letters. It'll fit nice on the tag. So that's kind of where the idea originally started with the name. And with that, I was like, okay, how do I start this brand? So I screen printed a bunch of t-shirts with my last name on it. Spent the next, I think it was 3 months, I sold about 2,000 t-shirts. I literally hustled out of my backpack and found the right kid walking with the rad shoes.
Exactly.
And just was hustling and hard selling those kids and kind of started a cool little college buzz around my brand.
And I don't think enough people do that, like hang around skateboard shops or that. When my son was getting into that era and to find out what school he was going to, I would hang out, me, at skateboard shops. And if I liked a couple of kids, I'd say, what school do you go to?
Yeah.
They'd say Brentwood Curtis. And then I would narrow my schools down if they were cool kids.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I think that's a marketing ploy for almost everything, right? And from that, where'd you go?
Yeah, from there. So I sold a bunch of shirts, kind of created this cool little buzz, which was funny, in an uncool town because I was going to Brigham Young University.
All right.
So here we are in Provo and created this cool buzz. And the only thing in Utah, besides the Utah Jazz, that had recognition outside of Utah was pro snowboarders, because that's where these guys would come from all over the world to go to Park City and train. So I became friends with those guys, was shredding with them, and I was always trying to get them to wear a Neff t-shirt. And every time they said, yo, I can't rock a Neff shirt because I've got this contract with Burton and all these guys.
Right.
So I said, well,
let's explain that for a minute. Most pro guys are connected to other companies.
100%. Yeah. Any athlete from a LeBron James down to, you know, a Ricky Fowler golfing to, you know, a pro surfer. Everyone takes endorsement deals which means they're obligated to wear your brand everywhere they go.
Right.
And you pay them to do that. So I was kind of trying to get them to wear a t-shirt, couldn't get them to wear a t-shirt. And I said, I've never seen a contract. Let me see your contract. So I took home two of the biggest pro snowboarders' contracts, read through them. And I was like, oh my gosh, it says nothing about headwear in these apparel deals. Right. So the light went off and I'm going, I'm not just going to make t-shirts anymore. I got to make headwear. I'm going to focus on that niche and I'm going to go back to these big athletes and tell them I have a headwear company. You can wear this now and it doesn't conflict with your current contract. Let's go.
Wow. And how'd that go?
It was amazing, right? I woke up the next day and I was like, crap, how do I make a hat or a beanie? Because I know there's right. screen printers in the local town. That's how I'm making t-shirts. So I actually, true story, I walked into a 99-cent store with about $30 and I literally bought about 29 headbands and beanies, the most ghetto things you've ever seen, right. and then bought a Sharpie. And I literally wrote NEFF on these dollar headbands, had this ghetto product. And then the following week, there was a televised event on NBC that was one of the pre-Olympic qualifiers for the Olympics in snowboarding. So I showed up there and I was talking to agents and the guys going, look, it's non-conflicting. I got these headbands right. and beanies. Can you rock them? Lo and behold, the guy that wins first and third on TV is wearing my dollar headband with my name written on their forehead.
I've done 4 Winter Olympics.
Wow.
And people notice that.
They do.
I mean.
We even got the Wheaties box out of it.
There's a power to that.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm huge.
And how do you keep that going? I mean, how do you.
Yes.
You can't stop.
No, you can't stop, right? There's always a new artist. There's always a new, you know, athlete coming. So I think the key is just staying on top of the trends and who are the tastemakers because mm-hmm. they're changing every day. So I think you have to keep your nose close to the ground in a sense of like who's creating noise and waves and making sure that you're aligning with the right people. And then on top of that, it's always product innovation and right. sales distribution. And that's what's unique about this business is you're pretty much just selling cool, but the bigger you get, kind of the less cool you get.
And you right? have to keep your eye on it because Limp Bizkit would have been the great client.
Yes.
10 years ago.
Yes.
And they're actually making a comeback, but he always wore
beanies, you know,
a beanie.
100%.
That sort of thing. So how do you decide who to approach?
Yeah, I think it's got to be, you know, someone that we feel is relevant to our brand, mm-hmm. right? Someone, I mean, you know, we've got down with so many different musicians and everyone's kind of like, hey, what about country? And it's like, well, at the root of who we are, maybe country doesn't fit us our aesthetic today, but if there was the right country dude that came out and he had a similar vibe and he did our stuff, maybe we'd get down. So I think it's got to feel natural to who we are coming from surf skate, snow roots and kind of right. hip hop and lifestyle. So it's got to be authentic to what our brand means and they have to have a legitimate following.
How do you keep your employees happy?
Wow, that's I think nowadays, and as you learn, right, you learn how to do that better. I think it's just really
it's not
empowering.
All money.
Yeah, no, it's really not
Although
money.
It could be.
Yeah, I mean, money helps, yeah. right? But it doesn't make them happy, right? Mm-hmm. Money's like, cool, I got a job and I like it. But to keep them happy during the day, I think you need to have them feel empowered. Mm-hmm. Have them feel that they're making a difference and they're not just receiving tasks top down. That they feel like, cool, I've been given this task and I can use my brain and my energy and my talent and I'm going to go improve and do something that helps this organization. And I think the more you can empower people to make change within your organization and then give them the credit for doing so is key.
The next step seems obvious if you're out in the sun and the snow is beauty business, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing with that?
Yes. I saw a unique opportunity in the sun care space. So I part own a brand called Sunbum, and it's got the little wood grain packaging with the little yellow yeah. monkey that a lot of people have seen and use. And basically three years ago when I got involved with Sunbum, there was not a brand in the sun care space that would take a logo, walking out to the beach and put that on a surfboard. So there was no real cool brand and no brand that people really respected is, yeah, that's a cool brand right. that I love. So that's where I kind of saw the opportunity. And with Sunbum, that's really what we've created. It's a trusted brand because you're protecting people from the sun. So it's FDA approved and it's a different mission because it's a good mission to kind of trust the bum, which is who we are and what we're doing.
Right.
So that brand is on fire and we started in sun care. Now we have lip balm. Now we're getting into hair and then we're launching baby balm and getting into baby products. So that one is really expanding quickly. And it's nice to be in the same mindset of a business of selling a consumer product, but it's less about like a t-shirt and all this, you have to change and trend and it's so finicky. Whereas sun care, it's like the stuff you put in there, you're going to keep putting in there for the next several years.
Whatever happened just putting zinc all over your face?
Yes. Zinc's still dope.
It does?
I mean, it's still out there. It's really niche-y. And then we have our own version of that.
Right.
It's not the colors, but my little Groms, I'll throw like hot pink noses on them and push them out in the water.
We are here to inspire, always to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This has been Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
This report is brought to you by Esurance. Natural disaster season is upon us. June brings the start of hurricane season, and severe storms this spring have already been unusually intense, with over 500 reports of tornadoes. Even if you don't think you're in an area prone to a threat, it's important to be prepared for extreme weather that could strike at any time. Meteorologist Bonnie Schneider shares tips to help you prepare for Mother Nature's worst.
Get together your basic disaster supplies, including a 3-day supply of non-perishable food and water, photocopies of your credit cards and ID, first aid kit, flashlight, a radio, and batteries. It's important to make sure your insurance is up to date and that you are properly protected. Esurance helps simplify insurance with Coverage Counselor, an online tool that helps you better understand and select coverages that may be right for you. It's just another way Esurance is making insurance surprisingly painless.
Esurance is not available in all states. For more information, visit www.esurance.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Fabian Geihalter. He's the founder of Finian, and he's also the best-selling author of How to Launch Your Brand. So Fabian, it's great to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks, good to be here.
So tell me a little bit more about the book. I love the cover of it, by the way, but you're a branding expert, so it should be good. So how to launch your brand? What is the key to first getting started? I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just starting my business.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first step to building my brand?
Well, the biggest thing is most entrepreneurs don't care about branding in the beginning. They care about their business plan. They have to make sure that all the finances are good. And they focus on feature. And
now, is that a mistake?
That is a mistake.
Why?
That's a huge mistake. Because they basically sit in a little bubble, like we all sit in bubbles. Some are bigger, some are smaller. For a startup entrepreneur, they're very small bubbles, right? So they sit in there and they create this product and they haven't thought about the target audience since day one when they came up with the idea. So then they focus on code and feature. And what they forget about is that the very first feature that people will actually be exposed to is the brand. It's like the image and the words and what it is about, and not even testing the product. So the reason why I crafted this book is to help them to not have to pay for it, which of course I would always appreciate if they do, but if they can't, and a lot of them can't, right? There's a lot of people that have very lean startup methodologies.
Which is why the starting point is to get your book.
And that's exactly it.
Because it's cost effective. I mean, this thing is...
Well, you could get it for $6, the audiobook,
there
you know, drive to work. And at least, see, the thing is, it's not, affordability is not only about money, it's also about affording the time, taking the time to actually learn about branding, you're one step ahead of the competition. And once competition hits in, and unless your product is really crap, competition will hit in.
Yeah.
Once it hits in, I see branding as kind of like a layer of insurance around your company. Because if people love your brand, and not just that one product or one feature, but the brand, what you stand for, and the visuals, and everything that you give to them, you outsmarted your competitors already.
So how do you create the brand that stands out? Because at the end of the day, right, a brand is great. There's a lot of things that fall under the brand umbrella. Yep. One of the most important ones is having a brand that stands out. So how do you get the competitive edge with your branding? I'm curious to hear your response.
Well, you already said it. You need to stand out. And so the funny thing is, funny in a kind of sad way, the interesting thing is that most startups feel like they're disruptors, right? They feel like they create something that's new and completely unique. And then they create these names that are horrific startup names with horrific startup domains with images that are very boring because they've been around, right? So if you remember the early 2000s, I guess it was when Tumblr and Twitter and everyone came out and they all looked exactly the same, right? Yeah. All in blue, lowercase, fat type, right? And that is in every industry the same thing. So I see all these startups now that either create these really hip logos, because the founder, finally they can do something graphic and creative, they create whatever they think is cool. But that's not talking to the target audience, mm-hmm. and that's not going to make the brand stand out because it's going to look like everyone else. So, and that's only visual.
So
right?
Let's relate it directly to your brand. What are you guys doing in your business to mm-hmm. make sure that you're getting the competitive edge with your brand? So throwing it back on you, how are you actually applying your own practices?
No, that's great, putting us to test. So the strange thing is I don't even know my competitors. And that sounds a little snooty, and maybe that's, you know, based on my experience.
I don't feel like to look at business as competition.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're trying to acquire market share and you're trying to play at the Fortune 1000 level or something like that, or maybe your goal is to get acquired, great, at the bigger level. But I think it's about cooperation and creating mm-hmm. partnerships. Now, again, this is out of context and we're not talking about a specific thing, so I'm not trying to create a conflict. But my question for you, right, is how do you become different? You say you're not paying attention mm-hmm, to the competitors. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. So what are you doing to stand out still? Because at the end of the day, your customers, your clients, they're looking at the competitors or they're looking at other options.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah. And in that connection, what we do is very focused on brand strategy. From a brand level, we try to show that. So we write books. We write white papers. We give them a lot of information that's for free. And that's how I get most of my clients. They read stuff and they're like, I love your thinking. Can we apply this to my company? And so we're very, very early stage as far as in the brand development. So we create the name, we create the identity, but that's when we stop because we tell them, look, you can save a lot of money if you go elsewhere with that. Yeah. And that's usually where a lot of agencies start making the real money, right? So that's a competitive advantage. And then competitively with a name like Finian, it's a very bizarre name and it's already kind of like, you know, different. Yeah. So we definitely tried to stand out that way too.
So I'm really interested to know about your hiring process because you said going into the consultancy and the agency model, you went from having like, you know, 10 to 15 employees down to like two. So your hiring process must be so interesting and strict because you're only looking for those or two people that are going to help your business. So what's your hiring process look like?
Well, it's, you know, I used to have all these different processes and I looked for all of these qualities and now there's really only one thing I look for. I mean, first they have to qualify, right? They have to qualify, you know, are you a good creative and whatever the job description.
But what's the one thing?
The one thing for me is, would I want to hug this person? Would this be a person that I feel like, you know, I can, if I'm gone for a week, they would get work done? You know, is that someone that I can rely on and it's just a good person? And it's kind of silly, but that to me is the most important thing. My current number one employee, as I call her, she flew in from Detroit. I met her for half an hour. I hugged her and we signed the contract and she flew back to Detroit. And so, I mean, and she's with me now. And that was, it was all based on personality.
So what do you think is the key within their personalities that causes you to want to hire them?
They evoke
integrity,
trust.
They evoke trust.
I think that's the most important thing. Yeah.
Okay. And what about hunger? Are you looking for people that are hungry and that are looking to go out and produce results for you? Or are you looking for people that are going to follow instructions and to-do lists?
Well, I'm not the top-down kind of person in my agency, so of course it's the first. No, it is very much about, you know, I mean, I love to have people that are hungry, but I also want to have people who love to work within a process that we have, right? Okay. So that they're not that hungry that they quit after 3 months and say, I want to start my own startup because this is all too exciting.
Yeah. Well, Fabian Guy-Halter is the founder of Finian, and he's also the author of How to Launch Your Brand. This is my copy of this book, right?
Yes, it's yours.
All right, I'm going to give you my book in exchange for it.
Fantastic.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Fabian's sharing with me a little bit about his company and talking about some of the things you guys do for hiring and, of course, how to stand out with your brand. I'm curious, what has been the hardest thing on your journey so far, on the entrepreneurial journey, that's been the hardest thing you've had to overcome?
The hardest thing for me to overcome was, it was hiring. Mm. It was trying to figure out how can I grow this company in a way where I can be very competitive, while the work that we received was getting more and more repetitive and production heavy. So it was really more a structural question of growth. You know, so basically growth was my biggest problem.
How is growth your biggest problem? Most people would say, you know, adversity or partnerships or funding was their biggest problem. You're saying it was growth?
So potentially it was the micromanaging of the growth. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
So as a creative driver in the company, it was very hard for me to let go. And so when you have a staff of 10, 15 people, you have to let go, right? You have to have, you know, middle management. You have to have a lot of project management. And so that was something that I had a really hard time with. And maybe that's why trust is so important to me today. Yeah.
In your company, how are you figuring out how to balance, right? You've got your family and you're married. So that puts you in a different life stage than maybe a single bachelor entrepreneur who's able to have the different levels of freedom that come with being a single person than being a married man.
Yeah.
So how are you integrating work and life balance so that your life is something that's actually fulfilling you and makes you happy versus feeling stressed because now it's just like, oh, I got the kids, I got the wife, I got business, I got employees, I got payroll. So how are you figuring out how to integrate that so life is actually balanced and fulfilled?
Well, one of the big things which you already mentioned is payroll. I have barely payroll, right? I have a very, very small company. To me, that is so liberating. And I walk into the office and I can take on whatever clients I want to take on.
Okay.
And that is extremely liberating. I travel a lot, which is beautiful because I actually like, you know, to see new cities. And
so it's a much more lifestyle business?
It is much more. And I work in 8 to 6, 8 to 7, to be realistic, right?
Okay.
And no weekends at all, ever, religiously, unless I write something. But it's pretty balanced. It took me only 15 years to get there, so no rush.
Well, hey, 15 years is better than not figuring it out at all, right? What was the transition that ultimately made you look back later and say, even though we lost our Fortune 500 clients by choice, it ended up actually being one of the best decisions. I'm curious, how did you see that shift happen?
Well, most importantly, I think for any entrepreneur and CEO is they have to be happy, right? They have to be happy in what they do. Mm. And I realized after 12 years of doing pretty much the same, and we just got bigger clients and we just grew, there was not really much changing in my own, you know, in my own behavioral pattern, right? It was always the same. It just, so my liberation was to suddenly say, okay, I have no clients. I have a couple of employees that are just finishing up some work, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And now I can completely restart. I can choose my clients. I can say no to projects, which is so liberating. Saying no to all of the projects that are not perfect fits. And then the ones that are, you just celebrate them and you create big strategy and you really bond with what they're about. And I love having clients come in and out quickly. So not that I don't like them, but I love having
like
a project.
Turnover on it.
Super high creative, right? Here's a startup that does X. How can we make you into a brand? Okay. You've got 30 days. Let's go, right?
Were you always creative? Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So okay. I've always been entrepreneurial. I always ran a company, and it was just like...
Take me back to the beginning, though. Yeah. Tell me when was the time, because we're not born entrepreneurs, meaning we're not born with a company. You made DNA, right? That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But like, take me back to before you actually were an entrepreneur. What was the spark that made you realize, like, hey, I'm in high school, I'm a college dropout, whatever, right? Tell me your story.
Yeah.
Just really quickly as we come to a wrap here, like, when did that shift happen? When was the light bulb moment?
Well, I think it all happens when you, for the first time, realize you just made a boatload of money, which might have been, as a high school student, I don't know, $1,000 or $2,000, right?
Selling candy bars
back
or something.
Then, right? Yeah, but once you actually do that, and once you realize you could do that, and for me it was, throwing a big event, you know, for a concert, for a band that came through town, Depeche Mode back in the 90s, right? And so I threw this huge party, and it was my favorite band, and I was backstage, and then I made lots of money because all these people came to the party, and I'm like, okay, so there's a lot of creativity here. Everything needs to be created. And then you start seeing people enjoy what you created. So
I love that. So what's your advice to the person who's got the 9 to 5, they've got an idea for a business, they've got their passion, they're not currently monetizing it.
Mm-hmm.
When is the right time, and how do they know when to cut the cord and go full time?
From an inspirational level, you have to feel in you that you can create something that is better than what is out there, that is different than what is out there, and that fulfills someone else's dream, basically. So you know someone wants this product and can really buy into it, and you're the one who's uniquely able to fulfill that on that mission.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest-growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day, watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Chuck Woolery here for Blue Emu. How many pain relief ads do you hear daily? 5, 10, 15? And of course, all of them claim their new ingredient or their new formula will help. Blue Emu has maintained the same quality year after year and continues to be the number one branded Emu oil product. So don't trust hype. Trust Blue Emu to support healthy muscles and joints. Choose Blue Emu pain relief products. They work fast and you won't stink.
Available at retailers nationwide.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Looking for a smartphone upgrade? Introducing the LG G8 ThinQ. So what is ThinQ? Spelled T-H-I-N-Q. We asked Ash Mollet from LG.
We've really delivered what I'll call a refined, minimalist design. We have enhanced front and rear facing cameras. We always have the incredible audio experience that LG has been known for.
And this smartphone comes with LG's artificial intelligence platform called, you guessed it, ThinQ.
It's LG's overarching platform that connects our home appliance, home entertainment, and mobile businesses with an AI platform that, you know, is going to make everyday usage of all of those types of appliances, TVs, and phones a really seamless process.
Go to your local carrier for rates and find out more on LG's G8 ThinQ.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
Vincent Bradley, who is CEO, owner, chairman?
CEO, co-founder.
Okay, of FlashFunders.com. How is FlashFunders, welcome. How is FlashFunders different than crowdfunding or Kickstarter?
Yeah, what makes FlashFunders unique is we help small businesses sell ownership in their companies versus just selling their product pre-sales, which you would find on a rewards-based platform like Kickstarter and Indiegogo.
And how did you come up with the idea? I mean, the idea was kind of there, but not this way, because you can actually make money on this.
Yeah, you know, this
or you
company
can attempt to make money.
Yeah. Just well said. Yeah. FlashFunders was given birth through the Jobs Act, the catalyst to help small businesses raise capital more efficiently, specifically regulation crowdfunding. So we got the idea for this business where the technology was finally there, but really the catalyst was the fact that the laws changed, and we were very opportunistic.
Now, to be an entrepreneur like you are, and you're young, what has been or what were the biggest hurdles?
I think the biggest thing is just getting off your butt and trying. And because it's never going to be perfect, and the first time you do anything, it's going to be a disaster, and you got to just fail fast. And that's the biggest thing I tell entrepreneurs. Whatever you want to do, just do it. And fail and learn and improve and then repeat it over again 100 times. And at some point, you're going to get lucky.
And I think my mindset has always been, if you fail, don't trip. Yep. I mean, don't fail and fall. You got to get up right away, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's also why I say fail fast, because if you're trying, experimenting with pace, you're going to have smaller failures. If you put $500,000 into a business and you don't talk to your customers and you're not experimenting and you fail, that's going to be a big failure. Whereas if you're failing on a daily basis, if you're experimenting quickly, the failure is not going to be a trip. It's going to be, you know, a little misstep.
Right,
and you're going
right.
to keep moving in the right direction.
You're watching Business Rockstars. We're connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on radio, TV, and online. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this is Business Rockstars. One is with us now, Vincent Bradley, who is CEO of Fundraising.com. What have you learned from sports? Speaking of getting colors wrong and that sort of thing. I'm a Michigan fan, actually. Yeah, I shouldn't have awesome. Done that. But you played hockey, and you know what it's like. Competition.
Yeah.
Is it the same in sports as it is in business?
So I worked
if you don't get hit by a puck?
I worked for my first job out of college was with an incredible entrepreneur named Kevin O'Connor, founder of DoubleClick, which got sold to Google for $3.2 billion. And Kevin's motto was, I hire smart athletes. Because when you're starting a company, when you're an entrepreneur, you got to be competitive. And I really, really, truly drink the Kool-Aid on that motto. Mm-hmm. As a hockey player, I had to compete every day for my spot on the bench.
Right.
I had to work within a team environment. I had to be disciplined and train, or I wouldn't get to the next level. And I think those three qualities are super important for being successful as an entrepreneur. Yeah. You got to work within a team, you got to be disciplined, and you got to be ready to compete because everyone wants to take your lunch.
And I agree. I did a lot of basketball, and Magic Johnson once tried to make a 50-foot shot, didn't go in. And he got all mad and got on the floor and that. And I said, you didn't expect that to go in, did you? And he said, I expect them all to go in. And the athletes have that, the good ones, have that certain confidence that you need. What for other entrepreneurs out there, what can make you lose your confidence? An early failure? A mid failure?
Yeah, I mean, in my case, all those things. Failures, negative employees, and you got to just... And I've lost my confidence, Pat. It's happened to me. I'm a young entrepreneur. I'm only 28, mm-hmm. but I've gone through phases where I've lost my confidence. And I think I've had great mentors that have reminded me, you're here for a reason. You've gotten this far because you believe in certain things. Keep believing in those things. Don't lose your confidence. Stay to the course. And I think that's important.
Yeah. Let's talk about those mentors for a minute, because you had a good Irish mentor.
Yeah.
And he said, hire smart athletes. But what else did he instill in you? Did he actually say to you, look, you got to be as enthusiastic as you are, Vincent? And
what
did he tell you?
Yeah, I still remember this very fondly. It was my first week. The company was called Find the Best, now called Graphique. They're a rocket ship, very successful. I was an early employee. My first week, 20 years old, and I go to Kevin and I want to buy this database, and it costs like $10,000.
Right.
And, $10,000 is a lot of money at that point. And now in a little bit better perspective, it's, not that much, but I go to him and I say, Kevin,
it is to someone though.
It is, absolutely. Right. I don't want to undersell
it
that.
It always is.
In the greater scheme, yeah. And I go to Kevin and I say, Kevin, I want to buy this database. He looks at me and he says, if you think you want to buy it, go for it. And he flipped it right back on me. And what I learned from Kevin in that instance was Kevin hires smart people and he gets out of their way. And they're going to fail. And they're going to make mistakes, but they're not going to improve and they're not going to be standalone and they're not going to make the company better unless you let them fail and make decisions for themselves. And that was huge for me. I learned it in my first week. And as I've grown my own business, it's been a really, really, really important learning where I got to hire smart people, let them do their job. Because if you try to micromanage, you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
Absolutely. And what's the age bracket of your employees?
So we have kids that are literally right out of college.
Right, that's what I was
21.
Saying. Did you get them early?
Yeah, we do. And, they're hungry. But we actually have some guys in our company that are 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're pretty broad. We're about 50% female to male. I believe in that. If you're going to have a company that represents the demographic you're serving, the company should represent the demographic. It's everyone under the sun. But we're definitely leaning on the young side. So there has been a fight or two in the office. Let's just say
that's
Pat.
Okay. Yeah. And all that's true. But what's the one thing you look for? Obviously, tech savvy.
Yeah.
Ambitious, vibrant.
Yeah.
Any one of those?
Handshake's important to me. I think the thing that I care most about is probably smarts, ability to problem solve, figure it out themselves.
How do you know that?
I throw them the banker problems and some analytical problems.
Right.
But you really don't know. I think interviewing is the hardest thing with building a business. It usually takes 3 to 6 months for me to know how smart someone really is. And I make a lot of mistakes, unfortunately. But I look for someone that's smart, they can problem solve. Everything else is important, though. I want competitive people. I want people that are passionate. No one wants to be around a wet blanket.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Vincent Bradley, our guest here on Business Rockstars. Mike Krzyzewski and I hate people put out their left hand. Like, you know, we just walk away from them.
I can agree with that.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
You're watching Business Rockstars. We connect a community of you, entrepreneurs worldwide, on radio, TV, and online. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.